grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amidst the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and forever. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand one are pleasures forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them, after those days," says the Lord, "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds," he also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes at various places. There will be famines. But this is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Apocalyptic writing, like we just heard from the book of Daniel and from Mark today, would not be on my list of favorite scripture passages for preaching. There are some who love to use these texts and dig in and try to find out the exact time when the world is going to end. They try to figure out, when is Christ coming again in glory? When will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? Peter, James, John, and Andrew weren't the only ones who had these questions. If we look at our world today alongside these scriptures, we can easily see that all of these things are indeed happening right now. People proclaiming false truths and leading others astray. Is that happening? Has happened for thousands of years. There are wars and rumors of war. Nod your head if you've heard of this. Nation against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, natural disasters, unnatural disasters of all sorts. What will be the sign? Now, I think Jesus is answering their question with a promise. Yes, terrible things do happen. But know this, God is with you in it all. The disciples were talking about the destruction of the temple, that great and huge building, the greatest building project of that day and time. Herod the Great had started this massive renovation of Solomon's temple around the year 20 BCE. And he expanded the temple complex way beyond what Solomon had envisioned. The gold trim on the temple dome sparkled so much, it was said that when the sun hit that temple, you could see it gleam for 2 miles away. Our friend Renee Hendrickson, some of you might remember her presence in our congregation for a number of years before they moved east. She is in Jerusalem right now, and she sent a picture yesterday of a sunrise shining on that temple dome. If anybody saw that, or look it up to see that beautiful picture that Renee took, posted it on Facebook. The temple itself was completed in less than 2 years, but the outer structures and the courtyards and the whole temple area took over 80 years to complete. So it's not hard to imagine that the disciples were incredulous when Jesus said, "This will all go away. This is all going to be destroyed. You know, how in the world would this all go away? I heard a report, a conversation this morning on the radio when they were talking about are they going to tear down Qualcomm Stadium, and what are they, you know, what are they going to do with all that concrete? And you know, alert, landfill, get ready. I mean, it just, and so just to imagine somebody standing next to the to Qualcomm saying, this is all going to just disappear. It's like, oh, not easily, not easily. The disciples couldn't imagine that this massive building was going to be destroyed, this most holy place of the Jewish faith. So they wanted to know when was this going to happen and how it was going to happen and what would be the signs leading up to it. Well, I don't think those disciples 2,000 some years ago were the only ones that have this kind of question. We too want to know when. When is this going to happen? We tell ourselves that we need to know. This is an important thing to know, that we need to know so that we can be prepared, so that we can be ready. But maybe the point that Jesus is making here is that we should be ready all the time. We're not called to simply live our lives with no thought of God or the world or our neighbor. We aren't called to live our lives to be on a lookout for God's imminent coming so that we can clean up our act. We lived in a house that had a garage door that made a lot of noise. And so my mom always left a list of things that we, during the summer especially, a list of things that we should accomplish during the day when she's at work. And when we heard that garage door come up, we got to work. We got to work. And there, that kind of idea, some people want to live like that. The idea of, you know, Jesus is coming soon, so look busy. That's not the way to live. The truth is that we're called to live always looking for the activity of God, trusting in God's promise that God will always be with us. Whether his disciples then or now notice or are grateful or understand or appreciate it, Jesus continues his walk to the cross. He died and is raised again, and the world barely notices. The world that will never be the same again. Disciples who deserted him are sent to tell the good news. The authorities who had him crucified are forgiven. Criminals are pardoned, even from the cross. All of this, whether they notice or care or not. Yet it does make a difference to notice. To know that we are the beloved of God does make a difference. To see and to notice the lengths and depths that God will go to prove God's love for us. To recognize the worth and value that we hold in God's eyes. To appreciate that God loves us. And through all of this, to be saved, to be freed to notice others, to be freed to see others as the beloved of God, to risk taking care of others, to reach out beyond our security, to touch and to be touched by God's love. I think that's one reason we need to go to church every week. We need to be reminded in this busy and often cruel world, this world that likes to tell us what we should believe, this world that likes to tell us who we should love and how we should spend our money and how we should spend our time. We need a weekly reminder that God loves us in the midst of all of this, and that God loves us just the way we are. God never gives up on us. Even when we spend all of our attention on things that don't matter, and we miss so much of what is going on around us, God still comes to us, always in love, always to save. Even in the midst of disease and destruction, in the midst of wildfires and shootings, in the midst of disappointments and disagreements, God is with us in it all. This scripture, these apocalyptic scripture passages, are not here for us to cause anxiety or worry. Jesus is not saying to us, be careful or you will fail God's good behavior test. We are called to live in joy and in confidence. Joy in the knowledge that God has revealed grace and mercy and goodness to us and to all the world in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Joy in our call to share that love with others. And confidence, trusting in the promise that the God who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us and restore the world to its intended glory. When will this be? And what is the sign that all these things are to be accomplished? In time. In God's time. We would like to know exactly when Jesus is coming again, but that's not our calling. We are called to live now, allowing the promises of God's future to wash over us in our every present moment. When we live our life looking for the activity of God here and now, you begin to see it. Where is God in all of this? That should be the question that we ask over and again every day. When you're looking for God, you will find God. In an act of kindness done for a friend or by a friend for you, in an opportunity to help someone else, in taking time to listen deeply to the joys and to the hurts of another, in expending yourself for others. You know, God shows up in all kinds of places, working in us and for us, through us, and with us. We just have to look and notice. When will this be? What will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? Now, every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Your kingdom come. We pray that God's reign would be fully recognized and powerful on the earth. That's what we're praying for God's kingdom to be seen on the earth. The old will pass away and everything will become new. A new heaven and a new earth that have been promised. And we can trust that God is faithful to God's promise. Thank you, Charlotte. Where did she go? She's in the cry room. Thank you, Charlotte, for giving us the beautiful object lesson today. To see with our own eyes the love of God poured out. Even I really like, and I'll use this in a sermon someday 100 years from now, that she was reluctant. Did you notice that? And isn't that like us so often? When God wants to just pour out God's love immensely and without resolve, we got the floor wet. We did it. We were lavish in the water and the oil as God's love is lavish. And sometimes we bat it away. Like Charlotte was, get this woman away from me. She already tried to drown me. Now she's, now what's she doing? This is a sign of God's love. In baptism, everything we do in Jesus' name furthers the kingdom. We heard in that reading from Hebrews that we are to learn to live together in love and kindness. Learn to live together in love and kindness and to trust in God's promise. But my favorite line in that chapter from Hebrews is verse 24. Consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. This is the kingdom come. That's God in our midst. Whether we are being provoked or if we are the provokers, God be praised in our love for one another and in our good deeds. What will be the sign that all these things are to be accomplished? Look around. Notice. Notice God at work in the world, in your neighbor, in you. God is here. It's all happening right now. God's promise to be with us is true. Amen.